All right, so sometimes you find like the most interesting legal stuff in the most like everyday situations.
Yeah, definitely.
And today we're going to look at one of those. It's the 1888 case Devechmann v. Shaw.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's from the Maryland Court of Appeals, and it's a classic contracts case.
Yeah.
It's all about consideration. You know,
Right.
that
Yeah.
idea of when a promise you make actually like turns into something that the law will, make you stick to.
Exactly.
So think of this deep dive as like your crash course on how to figure out if a promise is actually legally binding, especially when it involves family.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because those can get messy,
Yeah,
right?
oh, totally.
So we have the Devechmann v. Shaw, which is a pretty interesting case about a nephew, John Simmons de Beaumont, suing his uncle's estate. The uncle, John S. Combs, had passed away.
Right.
And the big question in the case is whether or not the uncle's promise to pay for Devechmann's trip to Europe was like legally enforceable,
I see.
especially since, it wasn't about business or anything.
Yeah, and they were family. So
Exactly.
you would think, maybe it's just a family thing and not, a legal matter.
So that's what we're going to try and figure out today, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
How far does this idea of consideration, really stretch?
Right.
We've got some really great material here that kind of looks at like the limits of consideration using this case.
Yeah. It's a great case for that.
Okay, so let's dive into like the details here. Who were these guys and what led to this whole legal fight?
Okay, so
Okay.
we've got John Semmes de Vecmon, who's the plaintiff,
Right.
and his uncle, John S. Combs, who, as we said, had passed away.
Okay.
And, this wasn't just like some distant relative or something.
Right.
De Vecmon actually lived with Combs for a good few years and even worked as his clerk.
Oh, wow.
So they were pretty close,
Yeah, so they definitely had a close relationship before any of this happened.
Absolutely. And that really sets the stage for the key event here. Back in 1878, Combs basically asks de Vecmon to take a trip to Europe.
He didn't just suggest it.
No, he didn't just suggest it, he requested it.
Yeah.
And he explicitly promised to reimburse him for all the costs, all the expenses.
Interesting.
And our sources kind of highlight this, like this trip had zero to do with Combs' business.
Right.
Wasn't like a work trip disguised as a personal trip or anything like that. It
Right.
was purely personal for de Vecmon.
So Devechmann goes on the trip, spends his own money,
Right.
assuming that his uncle is going to pay him back as promised.
Exactly. Yeah.
This wasn't like, a spur of the moment offer after the fact.
Yeah.
It was a promise made beforehand,
Yeah.
specifically to get him to go on the trip,
Yeah.
which brings up this interesting question.
Yeah, for sure.
Was this promise, just like a nice gesture,
Yeah, like a family thing.
like family generosity, just something you say without really thinking of the legal,
Yeah, legal side of things, right?
or was there something more to it?
Yeah.
Something that could actually, make it a legal obligation.
Exactly.
And, the fact that Devechmann also worked for Combs
Yay.
adds a bit of a wrinkle. Like,
Yeah.
was it maybe like some kind of weird compensation?
Right.
But then, the trip was totally personal,
Right.
so it makes it less likely.
Yeah.
One of our sources mentioned that Combs himself said he wanted to pay.
Oh,
And
okay.
he used the words liberal and generous. But does that really like negate any kind of legal obligation, especially if it made Devechmann do something specific?
That's a great point.
So Devechmann goes on this trip,
Yeah.
pays for it out of his own pocket.
Right.
Then his uncle, Combs, passes away. And, obviously he asks for that money back from the estate.
Right.
But, things get a bit tricky here. What happened when the case went to court? Like, what was the initial reaction?
So in the trial court, things didn't really go de Vecmon's way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so surprising.
The court actually decided to not allow de Vecmon's testimony about the promise.
Oh, wow.
They basically said it wasn't relevant to the case.
That's so strange.
Yeah, and because of that, the jury didn't even hear about this promise.
Right.
So they only gave him a tiny amount of money in damages.
Oh, wow.
Not even close to what he actually spent on the trip.
So they basically ignored the whole promise, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow, that's rough.
Yeah, it was a big setback for him, for sure.
So it makes sense that he appealed that decision, right?
Yeah, totally understandable.
Like he had this direct promise.
Right.
He did what he was asked. He
Yeah.
spent all his money. And then they're saying it's not even relevant.
Exactly, yeah.
So what did he do? Like what was the argument in his appeal?
So he argued that, the evidence of this promise from Combs was super important.
And it should have been allowed in the trial.
Okay.
He said that the promise was basically like a contract, even if it wasn't like written down all official and stuff.
Interesting.
This really shows that the trial court basically saw it as just a gift.
Hmm.
Like a nice gesture that doesn't mean anything legally.
Right, right.
But the appellate court didn't see it that way.
Okay, so what did the appellate court do? Like, what was the central legal question they had to answer?
So the big question for the Maryland Court of Appeals was, could they actually enforce this promise that Combs made to pay for the trip?
Okay.
Even though, remember, it wasn't for business and didn't really benefit Combs in any obvious way.
Right, right.
This really gets at, like, the core of what we mean by consideration in contract law.
Okay.
How do you, like, create a legal obligation from something that seems like a generous promise, especially in a family situation?
It definitely highlights how, you know, promises we make in our personal lives, like with family, don't always line up with what the law considers, you know, a real binding contract.
Right. Exactly.
Like, just because you promise something, even with, like, good intentions, and someone relies on it,
yeah,
doesn't automatically mean a court will enforce it.
Yeah, for sure.
It needs to meet certain criteria.
Exactly.
So what did the court decide in this case?
So in this case, the Maryland Court of Appeals actually sided with DeVecmon.
Oh, interesting.
They said that, yes, Combs' promise was enforceable.
Okay.
And that there was enough consideration to make it legally binding.
So how do they get to that conclusion? Like, yeah. What was their reasoning?
Their reasoning was based on this idea of consideration via detrimental reliance.
Okay.
They said that Combs' request for DeVecmon to go on the trip, plus the promise to reimburse him, led DeVecmon to spend money he wouldn't have otherwise.
Right.
And that was the detriment, you know?
So it didn't matter that Combs didn't really get anything out of it personally?
Yeah, that's the interesting part.
Right.
It wasn't about Combs getting some direct benefit.
Yeah.
So he didn't get anything tangible out of the trip, but that didn't affect the outcome of the case.
Right, exactly.
Right, okay.
The court really emphasized that the detriment DeVecmon experienced, like the financial burden of paying for the trip himself,
right,
was enough to be considered consideration because he was relying on Combs's promise.
Okay, that's it.
Even if DeVecmon had a great time in Europe, you know,
yeah,
the important thing is that he spent the money because of that promise.
Okay, so his actions were based on that promise.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
That's what mattered.
So does this mean that the fact there was no business connection, like, that was irrelevant to the court?
Yeah, the court was very clear about that.
Okay.
Consideration doesn't always have to be this, like, formal business exchange where you're trading things for profit.
Okay, I see.
Here, the agreement was more informal.
Right.
But it was still an exchange.
Right.
Combs promised to pay.
Okay.
And in return, DeVecmon took the trip and paid for everything.
Okay, so that was enough.
Yeah, that was the core of the consideration.
I see.
And that's a really important distinction, you know?
Right, because we're talking about the difference between a legally binding promise and just a gift, right?
Absolutely.
And we mentioned earlier that Combs himself used words like liberal and generous.
Right, yeah.
Which makes it sound more like, you know, a nice gesture.
Yeah, like he wasn't expecting anything in return.
Right, rather than a contract.
Exactly.
So how did the court address that?
So the court said that a pure gift, you know, like something you give out of the blue, doesn't create a legal obligation.
Okay.
But a promise that makes someone do something specific, that's different.
Interesting.
And in this case, DeVecmon wasn't just like randomly given money.
Yeah.
He was asked to take a trip, spend his own money, and was promised he'd be paid back.
So it's that element of him doing something specific because of the promise.
Exactly. That's crucial.
That's what makes it different.
Yeah.
That's what makes it more than just a gift.
Exactly. That inducement is key.
I see.
And our sources even say that the court was probably worried about, like, people exploiting others,
yeah,
you know, making these big promises and then backing out.
Right, right.
Leaving the other person, you know, in a tough spot financially.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because they acted in good faith based on that promise.
Right.
So the court wanted to protect against that.
So how did the court actually use this idea of detrimental reliance to help DeVecmon?
Yeah.
So what were the legal mechanics they applied?
Okay. So they used this old legal principle called indebitatus assumpsit.
Okay.
It's basically a way to recover a debt.
Okay.
The court said that once DeVecmon went on the trip and paid for it all, Combs had to pay him back.
Right.
It became a debt owed to Devecmon.
Okay, so this wasn't like a typical breach of contract lawsuit.
Right, not exactly. Right. It was more like a quasi-contractual remedy.
Okay.
Devecmon was basically saying, hey, you owe me this money because of what you promised and what I did.
I see.
He didn't have to prove all those like formal contract things.
Right.
Like offer acceptance consideration for both sides.
Yeah.
It was more straightforward.
Right.
One source even points out that this let him just ask for the money directly.
Okay.
Instead of getting caught up in all those technical contract rules.
Yeah, right.
It was a more direct route.
So this seemingly simple family matter actually brings up some pretty big legal ideas, huh?
Definitely.
Like, what are some of the main takeaways from Devecmon v. Shaw?
So first, it's important to know that this case is seen as a precursor to what we now call promissory estoppel.
Interesting.
Yeah. So even though back then the court was using traditional ideas about consideration, their focus on this detrimental reliance thing laid the groundwork for this later legal concept, which is basically about preventing someone from breaking a promise when the other person relied on it and got hurt because of it.
I see. So it builds on those same ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
And it also highlights the whole objective theory of contracts, doesn't it?
Like the court wasn't trying to figure out what was going on in Combs' head.
Right.
They cared about what actually happened.
Yeah.
Devecmon went on the trip, spent the money based on the promise.
Exactly.
That's what mattered legally.
Right. The law often looks at those outward actions rather than trying to guess someone's internal thoughts or motivations.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So what about promises made within a family?
Yeah.
Does this case give us any guidance on that?
It does, yeah. Okay. It reminds us that even promises within a family can be legally binding.
Okay.
Especially if they have the elements of a contract.
Right.
And especially if they cause detrimental reliance.
Okay.
Of course, not every casual promise between family members will end up in court.
Right.
But when someone asks you to do something specific, promises to pay you for it.
Okay.
And you do it and it hurts you financially.
Yeah.
That's when the law might step in.
I see.
One of our sources even points out that in these situations, the consideration isn't about equal value being exchanged.
Okay. It's more about the action you take or the financial hit you take because of the promise.
That makes sense.
Another source backs this up, saying that these personal promises that lead to expenses are definitely enforceable.
Okay. So to sum everything up.
Yeah.
What's the big takeaway from Devecmon v. Shaw?
All right, so the key point is this. A promise that directly makes someone spend money because they're relying on that promise is legally enforceable.
Okay.
Even if there's no formal business relationship or if the person making the promise doesn't directly benefit.
Interesting.
The court, in this case, focused on what Devecmon actually did.
Right.
He went on the trip and spent the money based on his uncle's promise.
Yeah.
And that was more important than what the uncle might have meant by his generosity.
So they prioritize the actions over the intent.
Exactly.
That's a fascinating look at how the law deals with promises.
Yeah, it is.
Even outside of, you know, business deals and stuff.
Yeah, it makes you think about how we view our promises to each other.
Yeah.
Like what we really owe each other.
Okay, so for everyone listening, especially those of you in law school, here's something to think about.
Okay, shoot.
We make a lot of informal promises these days, you know, through texts, emails, social media.
Right, all the time.
So how do these ideas from Devecmon v. Shaw about detrimental reliance and stuff apply to those kinds of promises?
Yeah, good question.
Like, would a court enforce them?
Mm.
And what should lawyers be telling their clients about all this?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's something to consider as, you know, the way we communicate keeps changing.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Devecmon v. Shaw.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a case that really makes you think.
Definitely does.
About promises, obligations, and the law.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening.